All right, I'm just going to tell it as the facts occurred yesterday.
I don't know any of this, mind you, so go on.
Of course, we are in Hawaii. If anyone's just jumped in their car and wondering what the hell's going on, we're over here with listeners. And yesterday afternoon, we went to go up to the famous North Shore. Mm-hmm. And just at the last minute, we had three cars, three drivers, and because also the Sydney and Melbourne Triple M teams are here. We were out on the street. The cars arrived. There was a very late pullout. I think it was initiated by my wife. She said, I don't want to go, because she spent a lot of her life as a surfing son and a fishing husband. She spent a lot of her life just sitting on a beach waiting for us to do. She said, I'm out. Real late. So she pulls out. My daughter Hillary pulls out. And they've then gone over to Robin going, yeah, you want to go shopping? Tap on the head, that one.
Yeah, which one? I said, absolutely. And my 12-year-old decided that he wanted to go with you guys.
That is correct.
So we did a split. And so we took one of the cars and we went off to the outlet centre and had a ripper of a day.
And negotiated the cab price, which was quite expensive. It was $150 or something, rather.
Yeah.
It cost us $100. The whole thing cost, you know, it was...
Anyway.
We could have taken a bus, but that's not the important thing. And your son had a great time.
Yeah, there's an amazing video of him jumping off a 12-metre-high rock face.
Unreal. At Waimea Bay, for any of the blokes, it is one hell of a place. Anyway, that's not where the story gets interesting, Brenda. We get back, on the way back, it was very warm up there. It's always warm in Hawaii. And we go, and Harriet, like Peter Griffin from Family Guy, has always wanted some shaved ice. And if you don't know what shaved ice is, it's really fancy Slurpee. All right? And the most famous shaved ice place in Hawaii is on the North Shore. So we pull up there. Go inside. Scott, our producer, is here. You were with me in the car. Just back me up. We got shaved ice.
Correct, we did. Yep. Okay.
Tremendous shaved ice.
And? How about being illegal?
We get back to the car.
And there's
a bit of a conference going on between our cab driver and Ange, the promotions girl, and there's arms being waved, and Scott and I go, Jesus, something's blowing up here. And we'd been gone for a while, and I thought, oh, I don't know what's going on. I was fronted by both her and the cab driver being told that back at the ranch, i.e. at the shopping centre, Robin, my wife and daughter, have done the runner on the cab and left him $30 short, and they wanted payment. That cab driver had gotten onto my cab driver.
What?
And somehow I end up...
$50. I gave him $150. Kath was going to go to the ATM and she didn't have the cash. And so I gave the $150. What have I done wrong?
Now a bloke told me yesterday, our notes are all different colours. You know, you got the pineapple, you got the...
Oh, Robin.
Yeah. Your dyslexia has landed me $30 short. You've paid $120 for $150. I've had to cop up. I've copped a couple of fingers in the chest going, apparently your wife and daughter. And I said, no, they're not the legal type. It'll be the other bird involved. You. I said, geez. And I get back to the room last night and Kath tells me she gave you $75 and left you to finish fix up the bill and you've gone $120.
So I owe you money.
I haven't done a runner from a cab since
I didn't do a runner. I just can't count.
Have. Well, you definitely have.
All right,
well, I haven't.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the only part that I can add to this story, though, right, we've been shopping at the outlet centres.
Oh, let's talk shopping.
And then,
yeah, here we go.
And then Marto makes a phone call to Kath and all I can hear Kath going is, yes, love, I bought you something. Yes, love, I bought you a
present. She bought me a $6 T-shirt and she bought about $200 worth of clothes.
I know, but why did you ring your wife going, can you please buy me something from the shop?
Oh, I don't think that's how it went down.
Okay.
I told the truth. You're just making things up.
All right. So what have we learned? Robin's
anyway,
a criminal.
Anyway, do I owe you money?
Robin is a criminal.
Do I owe
and
you money? How much money do
bus.
I owe you?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Well, we started this a while ago. Remind me of some of the topics, Robin.
Okay. We've done roller skating.
Drive-in
movie theatres. Of course, we did the African safari. That kind of kicked Bullens. Us off. Bullens.
That's right. Last week we did school, what used to happen in school. I've got one based on what happened last night to me. As you know, we're over in Hawaii with our lucky listeners, but I've brought Kathy, my wife, I've brought my son Harry and my daughter Hillary. Last night got a bit sad because Harry, our son, is staying in Hawaii. He's just had his first year. He's been working all year. He saved up his money. He's now...
That's
this is
not
the first.
Sad.
Well, hold on. I'll give you the sad bit. Kath started crying for no reason.
Aww.
There's only two more nights with him. What's tonight? Wednesday? Yeah, we're heading home on the weekend. And he's staying here for 5 weeks on his own. He's just turned 18. That's what's sad because he's able to drink beer for 3 weeks. He comes to Hawaii and that's the end of that. You know, you got to be 21. All right, so we're sitting there. And Kath and I were sitting at the dinner, at just dinner, the four of us last night, you know, little family, and started telling old stories. I started telling a story about, you know, just in case you go, hold on, this could be the end. We have Hillary lives, our daughter, a 19-year-old daughter, lives in Sydney. Harry is about to go. You never know when he'll come back. He's a surfer. He may never come home.
Oh, so you're just trying to pump them
the last
all of
little
Martin
bit
stories just in case they forget.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
Okay, so what was the story last night?
I gave all these wonderfully upbeat stories
about
grandparents, you know, about my grandparents.
When you were a rugby legend?
No, not that stuff, the good stuff. But then Kath came in with one of the greatest ever family stories. I'd heard it, but I don't think the kids had. When she was, now she's the sixth of seven children, my wife, okay? Mm-hmm. Second last, her, and there's a fair gap to her and her brother. They were a sort of a little family on their own. Then there was five elder sisters, okay? They went on a world trip.
Wow, seven people.
She was eight, her brother was seven, seven and eight. They went around the world for 6 weeks with nine people, all right, from Rockhampton. It was all booked from a travel agent in Rockhampton. Everything went well. They went through Europe. And then the final part of the holiday was America. And the two littlest kids, Catherine and brother, were promised. So they'd behave themselves around all these boring museums and stuff
castles
around the world. Yep, castles. These are castles. That's 6 weeks. The second last day was designed to keep the two youngest kids happy. Disneyland.
Yep.
The wonderful world of Disneyland. And they had been in San Francisco. And the travel agent from Rocky had booked a flight to LA and then a big taxi ride, two taxis, of course, with nine kids, out to Orange County, where Disneyland is outside of LA. They got there. It's now December. It's a Tuesday in December, and this must be what the movie Vacation is based on. Disneyland was closed.
Just like Wally World.
Oh, hello, that's what we're after. Yeah. If anyone knows the movie, it must be based on this. It has to have happened to other people. They turned up and it was apparently in winter on Tuesdays, Disneyland closes. Kath stayed there. Her and her brother had waited the whole trip while they satisfied the demands of the rest of the family. And this was the greatest disaster ever. Apparently their lips just quivered.
Okay, so you want to do back in my day awful family holidays.
Well, family.
Is that where we're going?
Holiday disasters.
You talk about great overseas trips. When my family, we used to just go camping and there was one Lilo that would never hold air. So Dad would pump it up on the first day and then there'd be dibs as to who was the best behaved between my sister and myself as to whether we got the Lilo with the dodgy air valve.
God, we were simple creatures, weren't we?
I know. It didn't actually ever occur to any of us that we should perhaps buy another Lilo.
That doubled as entertainment, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, God. It used to keep us very, very nice during the day. Jason and Morayfield, family holiday disaster. Did you have one?
Oh, plenty, but this one stands out. We were on our way to South Australia from Melbourne. We used to go there on school holidays quite regularly to visit the aunties and uncles, and we were in my grandfather's old Triumph Mark II, which had no air conditioning, and middle of summer, we got a flat tyre. I don't recall where we were. I think we were near Taylor Bend, and it was like 35,000 degrees outside. Granddad's gone to change the tyre. The spare tyre's flat as a tack. Back doors are open. This brown snake decides to make itself a home in the car. We couldn't get the snake out. No spare tyre. We're stuck on the side of the road for like 6 hours. No water. Eventually got picked up by a flat track. Yeah, it was a horrible day. So the motto of the story is check your tyre and don't let brown snakes in your car.
Good motto. Tough to fit on a T-shirt, but not a bad one.
Thanks, Jace. Michael of Shaler Park, tell us about what happened on your family holiday when you were a kid.
Hey, guys. Yeah, we went, coming from New Zealand, we had any idea of a theme park was an egg in a park that spun around in circles. So when we got to Australia, we thought we'd go on some road trips. And we discovered this place in the magazine called the Lazy Daisy Caravan Park. It was somewhere around Coffs Harbour, and back in those days, it was a fair trip from Brisbane.
Yeah.
And, you know, the theme park was, you know, rides and attractions. So we get down there after about a 4.5-5 hour trip, and we find that there's a little lake with some paddle boats that you paddle with your feet. There was a seesaw, and the old Yogi Bear put your face through and take a photo. So...
I'm thinking you were there for 6 weeks, were you?
We were there for two, and those paddle boats got a real workout, I can tell you.
Oh, bet they did.
Oh, we were simple.
Oh, we were simple. Thank you, Michael and Rob of Moorumba Downs. Go on, what happened when you were a kid? Where'd your family take you?
Beat Yogi.
Yeah, we were going down to South Australia. We were caravanning down there, and we stayed at a little place called Colac. And we pulled in there, and my mum went into the Besser Block toilet block, the old stock standard for a caravan park, and the door handle dropped off when she went in. And there was one little pissy window to try and get out of. And so we had the fireys and all there breaking down the door so she could get out. So now she doesn't go into public toilets.
Ever.
Nah. Look for a hotel.
How long was she stuck in there, Rob?
Yeah, about 3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours. Good stuff.
Oh, don't. Did she try and get herself through the window?
Oh, yeah, that was never going to be pretty. My mum's not the littlest lady around, so that was never going to be happy.
No, that's your mum. That's your mum. That's a yellow card for you, Rob. Marto and Robin live from Hawaii.
Well, there's a bit of a story in the Courier Mail. There's a story that's gone a little bit further.
It's front page, in fact. Former Ipswich Mayor Paul Pasoli has been charged with official corruption and faces accusations he possessed a sex drug without a prescription.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's not worry about that. That'll go through the courts at some stage. The sex pill. Now, what would your 12-year-old son say what would you say to him if he asked, Mum, what's a sex pill?
Oh, okay. What would I say? I would say that it is a pill that some people have to take to get them into the mood to be able to perform the act.
And there I didn't know.
How good was that?
I didn't know
that. Was pretty good off the top of my head.
It's not bad.
Come on.
And you won't be needing
it. Thank you, Brendo.
And you won't be needing it for approximately 40 years, so
please,
let's not worry about that.
Yes, thank you. And if you see it, do not take this. This is not some random thing for you to try. There you go.
Righto. Now... I don't know where to go with this, but quite simply, they're saying, I didn't know you can have illegal ones.
Yeah.
See, I've seen them in Bali and stuff. You can buy them behind the shelves. South Africa, you can buy them behind the shelves of a servo.
Can you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you've got to have a script. In
if they are what I think they are, because my plumber, I'm wondering whether he'll get arrested because I know he does some work for a doctor and he gets paid in sex.
No.
Yeah.
He'd have a script, though.
Well, no, he has a wrench and some pipe glue, and that's how you get your sex pills, according to him. But there's a very old joke. I might as well repeat it, and you'll get up me, of course. We're talking about sex pills, okay? This woman says to her husband, "I want you to go to the chemist, and I want you to get some of those pills that give you back the urge."
Right.
Should have seen the look on her face when he came back with diet pills.
Help.
And you're not allowed to say that on radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts in starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
19 past 7, Marto, Ed and Robin on Brisbane's new Triple M. Marto and Robin in Hawaii this week. Ed Cavalier away today, top of 28, partly cloudy. Robin's already broken the law over in Hawaii. It's because of Marto that she's not in jail at the moment. We're going to get to that in 15 minutes.
Hang on. I don't know this story, but apparently I did something wrong. And before you throw me in jail, that involves your wife. Anyway, as you were.
You don't know about it. How do you know she was involved too?
Yeah, because I was with your wife all day yesterday. Anyway, let's talk about Russell Crowe. He's got a brand new single. Well, that elicited a lot,
zero.
Didn't it?
But what are you going to do? I love Russ. I love him as an actor, but he's dabbling as a song. Yeah, what was the name of the old band? 30-odd foot of grunt.
Oh, yeah, how could you be reminded?
How could you forget Toe Fog? Such classics as Sail Those Same Oceans. But what about his softer side on Things Have Gotta Change? And that's all we had in the system.
Have we?
I'm surprised we even had that.
Have we ever discussed? Did I tell you recently? I know we often just slide in a little piece of, you haven't heard this about Russell Crowe, that he let the 30-odd foot of grunt members stay at his apartment block. He owned an apartment block down in Sydney. It was worth millions.
Now, this was at Woolloomooloo, wasn't it?
Yeah,
like right on the bay.
No, not where he stays there, you know, with the expensive part. He had down near Redfern there, not far from South, which he's the owner of. He let them stay for the last 15 years rent-free. Any members of TOEFOG, 30-odd foot of grunt, which of course become the ordinary fear of God later. He just loved that TOEFOG term. So do you know they turned into the ordinary fear of God?
No.
You don't know enough about Russell.
I don't know enough. So hang on, just finish the story. Are they still there?
No. Danielle said, hey, listen, what's that apartment block there? Her solicitor must have found it, made him sell it, and they booted them all out.
Okay.
That's why TOEFOG are now homeless.
Okay.
On the streets, busking.
Okay, so now he's involved in a new band that's called Indoor Garden Party.
Good name.
I know, it is a good name. And the new song is called Out
you
of
got it.
Range. Here is a bit. I'm out of town. I'm out of state. I'm out of my mind. But that feels Who's the woman?
Shush. I'm out of
Okay, let's unpack that, Robin
who's
Bailey. What's
chick?
Going on there?
Hang on, who's that?
I didn't hear Russ anywhere going, I'm popping out for a durry. I didn't hear him say that. Was he in that song?
I believe he was auto-tuned in the background there, Marto. So he's the backup
band. Come on,
band.
Brendo, you're a music oracle. Who's the woman?
Well, I should
I
know.
Can't
Unfortunately,
find her.
I care very little about that band, so I have done no research into it. But
no,
I
you
do
know how a lot of
songs. Instead of Frankie Valli now, he's pretty much just the Four Seasons. He's just hanging in the background.
Now, can we just don't doubt Russell because he's a mighty movie star, and often songs on the second listen get better, and the third, etc. Can I tell you one story? And Gordon Tallis, if you're listening, feel free to ring up and correct any segments of this story because it is Gordy's story. I'm sorry to steal it. But he went out one night, John Bon Jovi, okay? So Russ, you know how Gordy used to coach at South and Russ was the owner. They're mates.
Right.
Well, I don't know where they still are, but let's see. I'll tell you the story. So got him tickets to John Bon Jovi down in Sydney, the concert, all right? Got him in a box right next to the stage and got him backstage. Gordy is with his old mate from Townsville, a mate, you know, his old school mate, drinking beer with John Bon Jovi, all right, backstage after the concert. Doesn't get much better, you'd think.
No.
A text comes through from Russell Crowe. Saying, mate, what are you doing? Gordy said, I'm drinking beer with John Bon Jovi, leave me alone. And Russ says, no, you've got to come to this address. There's a party on. You will not regret it. All right, you get that from Russell Crowe. You're looking across at John Bon Jovi. You're about to burn him. Him and his mate from Townsville have gone, you know, finished the beer and said, oh, sorry.
Gotta go.
We've got to go somewhere. They arrive at this party, heavy security, get ushered in. There's Russell Crowe. There's like a makeshift studio. This is as told by Gordy, okay? There's a makeshift studio there. Kanye West and Jay-Z are there mixing a bit of music, etc. And Gordy said, and Russ is there at the mixing desk talking to them. And actually, Gordy turns around. They hadn't had a drink at that stage. Turns around and this girl says, oh, can I get you a beer? Beyonce went and got Gordy and his mate from Townsville a beer, right? Beyonce was there. It was a private do. Russell Crowe was advising Jay-Z and Kanye West about it. He was giving them music advice.
Oh, no.
Cop
oh,
that, anyone who criticises Russell Crowe.
Oh,
cop that.
And just as a byline, I found out who the chick was.
Oh.
She's his Les Mis co-star, British actress and singer, Samantha Barks.
Wow.
That's why she can hear her and
Terry
not him.
I thought it was Terry Irwin.
We've been talking over the last few days about the power issues in Brisbane and how the government are threatening to make us stick our air conditioners to 26 degrees in households and in businesses with the chance over the hot summer months of brownouts. But now it seems they've done a little more research to find out who is using most of the power. And this is kind of interesting for you, Marto, because you do have two adult children who have been living at home. Apparently they are the biggest culprits.
What do you mean?
Well, adult children who are refusing to leave home are driving up the power bills to more than $2,000 a quarter, then refusing to pay a cent. They've discovered that, and they've been calling them lazy adult children who fry their brains, and I'm just quoting from the story here, play video games 12 hours a day. They're frying their brains and chewing up power.
Yep.
They are lazy enough to use the clothes dryer at $1.20 a load rather than getting off those lazy butts and putting the washing on the line.
Wow. They've done the analysis. That's true, too. My son's not a gamer. He's an outdoors type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, his last year at school, so only before last summer, but this time, even earlier, last year, he finally, because he's on the side of the house. Hillary, my 19-year-old, has no aircon. Nowhere else in the house has aircon apart from Harry. We put it in because he said, I can't study properly because my room doesn't get a breeze.
He's you fell for that old trick.
We got one rattler, so we got one wall unit into his room. My God, that was the first time, and I'll often talk about it when we talk about power, that was the first time my bill went up over $1,000 a quarter.
Because of the
before that, it was about $760 a quarter with no air con. We got a pool, though. I used to be able to cope around there, and I just went, oh, yeah, well, power prices are going up. I guess that's what you pay. But I reckon he was costing me another $200 a quarter for sucking power. Now, he likes to sleep. His room is like a cave. No one goes in there for a year and a half or so. there could be bodies in there. Who knows? But I reckon he's worth $200 a quarter.
Well, I think every family would have a power waster, like someone who clearly doesn't pay the bill. And no matter how many you say, and I do literally run after my children going, have you turned your aircon off? Have you got your lights off?
Because they don't pay the bills.
That's exactly right.
Mick from Bracken Ridge, who's the power waster in your family?
Yeah, it's sort of a combination, really. It's my wife is the worst culprit, at least $200 or $300 a quarter just on cooking for the kids.
On cooking?
Cooking. Well, just on Monday alone, she did crumb chicken strips, marinated chicken, huge amount of fried rice, banana fritters, and only two of the five kids.
You can't complain about that.
Only two of the five kids still live at home, but there was four of them there eating, and then they bring their kids around as well, and it's just like fridges and freezer and just a massive amount of cooking.
We did want, Mick, you've rung. I've spoken to you for years on the phone. Now, you own boys, but I know the same thing. We are talking about air conditioning, but you're just having a general whinge that your wife's spending too much money, correct?
it's amazing the amount of food that's in the house. I work too much, so I don't get to enjoy it as much as the kids.
Don't you reckon, I'll just talk to you as a parent, like I only have two children, but somehow there's often six to eight in the kitchen just viewing the fridge as a TV set. Like they just open it and just look and go, ooh.
Yeah, but you don't mind that, do you? That means you know where they are. See, I'm okay with that.
Remind everyone how much he spends a quarter extra cooking, Mick. Did you say 200 extra?
Oh, yeah, at least 200 to 300 at least. Some days she'll start cooking at 6 in the morning.
Oh, no, there's too much food in the house. For Mick, what a disaster. 133353, Amanda from Holland Park, who's the power waster in your family?
Hi, I've got an 18-year-old boy and a 23-year-old girl, and both of them moved overseas, or one's on an extended vacation, and one moved over to the US in June, July, and the other one's travelling around Europe. And we got our power bill last week, and it's only $328. It's normally around $800. So I said to the kids, I put it on Facebook saying, look, you know, the drop in our power bill, and, you know, I've proven now that the kids are the ones that use all the power. And one of them said, oh, you can pay to keep us away then. Because she's supposed to be coming back from Europe this Saturday. Yeah.
I would consider that, actually. I think that could be a good investment. Thank you, Amanda.
I like this one. Ed from North Lakes, you got a few sun lamps going on, or heat lamps at least, in your house. Bit of a hydro set up there.
Heat lamps?
Yeah, could get taken that way. How are you guys?
Yeah, good, mate. What is it? What's the power wastage?
Oh, mate, my 20-year-old son has just a passion for reptiles and snakes and that. And, mate, it's just constantly, we've got lights going 24/7. Neighbours do get a bit concerned at times and think we might be doing something illegal, but no, it's all above board.
Are you sure, Ed? I'd check that out myself before the cops have to investigate.
No, mate, we keep it above board. He's all licensed and everything, but yeah, like, it's just 24/7, and I don't know exactly what it's costing me, I don't know. I'm probably scared to find out.
Yeah, don't find out. Actually, you could move to Hawaii, where keeping a snake is illegal.
Oh, is it?
There's a useless Hawaiian fact for you.
Sure is. And check the ceiling, Ed. That's where they normally put it. Last night, my 19-year-old Hillary, she tells me the news. She keeps up with everything. She said, Dad, you can now get your beer at home via BWS. And I said, that'll be interesting. And then we get to work this morning and Claire comes bursting out of the news shed with the news that it's correct. Claire, can you tell everyone what the big story is here, all the surrounding bits?
I certainly can. So this is an idea that is around by some sort of smaller companies around Southeast Queensland already at the moment, but they are much smaller. This is the first time we've had one of the big companies like BWS jump on board the idea. So what it will mean is before Christmas, so in the next few weeks, we will have the option to get any alcohol deliveries to our door within an hour. So very similar to the likes of Uber Eats or or anything like that that we have at the moment for food. You'll basically log online, place the order, and then within an hour, you'll have a guy arrive at from BWS at your door with the delivery. Now, it will be free if you spend over $100, but if it's less than $100, we're talking $10 delivery fee.
So it's kind of a bit like Pizza Hut, where they have their own delivery drivers, and we may in fact see BWS cars cruising around delivering all this booze that people are ordering.
That'll be exactly what it looks like, Robin, and it will be from around 100 stores across Brisbane. So it won't be every single BWS, but all of the main ones, sort of the larger stores that you see around at the shopping centres, they will all do the deliveries, and yes, you'll see them cruising around town, and it should be in the next few weeks before Christmas.
Okay, two questions. Hours, I guess it's the same as whatever hours the bottle shop's open, but just confirm that. And also, what about, my fear was if a 19-year-old's buying it for a 16-year-old, how do they cover all that?
Yeah, for sure. So definitely within store opening hours, as you say, Marto. And as for how it will be policed, BWS say that the delivery drivers will be very much the same as the store salespeople, where they will be asking for ID if you look under 25, I think the rule is. But yes, in terms of policing, we'll certainly be keeping an eye on how it works. But yeah, you will need to have ID when the delivery comes.
And it'll also mean that delivery drivers all have to be over 18 because they'll be handling alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
That's certainly the case.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Claire. Marto's going to make his way through a bit of Hogs Bourbon this summer, aren't you, mate?
I hope there's frequent flyer points available on this.
From Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shane Chantra's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcastone.com.au or download the app.
Robin, I've already spoken about you went shopping and Piper, your wonderful 12-year-old son, came out with Harry, my 18-year-old, and he's a bit of a daredevil surfer wild type. And things got a little bit out of hand there. We're jumping off very large rocks into one of the most dangerous. That wave gets to 40 foot in a few weeks' time.
I'm glad I didn't know that.
It was pretty good yesterday. But it was a trip. You go from down Waikiki, which is the real touristy part. Wonderful. We went up to the Wild North Shore and we went through pineapple fields.
Oh, and you would have felt right at home.
I have some expertise, having worked from the age of 13 at the Golden Circle Cannery. Dad was there forever, and I was telling everyone in the trip, I was sort of the tour guide for pineapples. They wanted to stop at the pineapple farm and said, there is no way in the world we're stopping there. I can tell you everything about pineapples. One girl on the trip said, where are the pineapple trees?
What?
Oh. She was under the impression...
Not a Queenslander, though, clearly.
No, definitely. She was from Melbourne. She wondered, where are the trees that all these pineapples grow on? And we pointed out how they grow in the ground. What? They grow in the ground? Yeah. Pineapples?
Never been to the big pineapple either at Nambour,
no,
I'm
sir.
Guessing.
All right, so we get there. We get there and we had our fun, etc. We pulled out. I've put the video on Facebook, Triple M Facebook. I don't know if Piper, your son, told you about it, but what we saw with these two guys at this table, you know, up near the car park where I'm here, there's no food outlets there. You've got to bring all your food in, apart from there's one pineapple guy. But these people were eating KFC.
Right.
All right, and I just noticed them, but there would have been about 30 chickens, just wild chickens, just wandering around, pecking around. While they weren't looking, the chickens got up on the table and investigated the contents of a bucket of KFC.
Oh.
Cannibalism. I'll let you check that one out. It's a video on Facebook. I called it the definition of irony. I don't know what it was. But then we started talking to this guy, and there was nothing to drink there, and he was the only guy who had a van, and he was doing pineapple juice. And he was cut. Like, honestly, every chick who came off the beach just wanted to go over there and touch his abs. Ooh. He was incredible.
Okay.
And he was telling us all about pineapple, but the most ironic thing about him as well was we said, Jesus, you must get that body from eating so much pineapple. He said, no, don't touch the pineapple. I just eat banana. All he ate, eats breakfast, lunch and dinner, is bananas. I don't know if that's the key to a good body, but I'm going to try it when I get back to Brizzy. But he said he was there, really military family. He had three little dots on his hand, this guy, three tiny little pin dots like that, just pointing a pin into your thing, tattoos, and they wouldn't let him into the military in America, and then he rebelled. And here's his story, because, you know, I told him about Golden Circle. He wasn't all that interested.
Of course you did.
Chaz, my old man, have you ever heard of Golden Circle in Brisbane? It's one of the great pineapple canneries in Australia. It's the only one.
Oh, yeah.
So I love my pineapple.
Nice.
What do you got going here?
This is cut off the ground yesterday. You can see the enzymes, see the fresh enzymes? beer that out of a can, you won't have that. It's all got preservative in it and stuff, so this is all fresh.
How long have you been doing this?
5 years.
It's almost a job.
Yeah, I love it. We're turning that. See, we still have the art on the wall, the pineapple art, so you can actually hang it on your wall.
The love drink. Well, Chaz, good luck. You look like Waimea Bay. What a place to work.
Trying to make it work, yep.
Yeah, but Golden Circle comes pre-sliced, so there is that.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, you can have all the six packs and abs you want, but in a can out of Golden Circle, you get the slice.
They wouldn't let him into the military, but he had one big knife on him just slugging away.
It's Marto, Ed and Robin doing it live from Hawaii on the new Triple M.
Marto, Ed and Robin, lend a hand.
Oh yeah, it's starting on Monday. We're going to start helping sporting clubs right across Brisbane because Hype for Hire have come on board with us and not only giving practical support but also cash. So if you are a sporting club that actually needs some assistance, then go to triplem.com.au. I've been flicking through some of the entries. Okay, I've got one here. Okay. This is from Marissa from Capalabar. She's a mother of a son who plays at the Redlands Rays Baseball Club. They need their lights fixed so they can play night games.
And training too, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly right. So they're the kind of things that we're after.
I don't know of the Redlands Rays. Does your name have to be Ray to play down there? And listen, Redlands Rays, who said
that's Marissa.
Marissa, I'll give you a fundraising idea. Get Ray Martin, Ray Warren and Ray Hadley to speak at a lunch. What about that?
Would they know anything about baseball?
Ray. Well, it doesn't matter, but their name's Ray. It fits perfectly. Hey, I've got one here.
Go on.
West Toowong Bowls Club, Fran from Toowong. She's actually the manager. She's written in, can you give us a hand? And the significant thing here is why I pulled it out. In 1985, I was a member of West Toowong Bowls Club.
Were you, dark horse?
My mate Harry used to live over the road, and it was, we used to say in 85, it was beer at 70s prices, and it was the prettiest bowls club in Brisbane, in old Queensland. You'd sit on the veranda there. We never actually touched any bowls or turf. We just used to be social members. I'm a lapsed member there, so I favour them. They need help with their turf, and, Well, if we can, I'll go down and have a look at that one and see how they go. But that's what you need to do. If you need help with your sporting ground, with any of the facilities, fencing, the nets, anything like
Monday,
that.
Monday, we're doing it.
Are we going to start helping people from
starting
Monday?
Starting on Monday, so get them in right now, triplem.com.au.
Plenty of great clubs to get behind. You and Robin Marto are in Hawaii this week. We'll catch up again tomorrow, see what you got up to today. What is on the agenda today? What's going on later?
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you.
Thank you.
Marto's getting a surfing lesson, okay? I'm supposed to be representing him and doing hula hooping. I wonder why you don't want to do that.
It's not a hula hooping.
Anyway, we're saying
it. Is there dancing? It's
the hula thing. I don't know.
It's not a hula hooping.
Well, see, you should have been coming. Why do you leave it up to me then? Don't leave this stuff to me. And also, I'm going on an outrigger. You know, the actual boats, the outriggers.
Oh, lovely.
Which the hotel is named after. Yeah, I'm going on one of those.
Such an action woman.
Oh, very nice. Enjoy yourselves. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. It's all thanks to Outrigger Resorts, Hawaii Tourism and Jetstar that you are there. It's Marto, Ed and Robin on Brisbane's Triple M.